Please put your hands together for Mr. Sloan.
Wow. Good morning, church.
How are you going?
Sorry, I get pretty excited pretty quickly. And just looking across this room, it's so good to see so many wonderful, beautiful faces. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking about your beautiful face. Unless that's awkward, then just say, he's talking about your face. That might be weirder, but anyways. First of all, I just want to honor Pastor Stephen and Onami. We're so grateful for your generous hearts that you'd bring World Vision on board to partner with you in the work of the mission. And that's what we're passionate about, right? Seeing the kingdom of God advanced. Is anybody about that this morning? Okay, I said, is anybody about that this morning? And it's been clear to see as both this campus and Kwinana, to see the support that you guys have given. We sponsored 38 children across both. And you'll find out later, but that actually equates to 190 children directly impacted by your generosity. So I want to first of all thank you guys. And can we put our hands together for them? And put your hands together for yourself, for your generous spirit. And so good to be with you today. And I thought I'd start by showing you a picture of our little family. First of all, of my wife. Oh, no. Too soon. Anyways, okay. This is a picture of my son. Hey, I think that's cool, right? Look at him. He's kind of posing, got his head back, whatever. So he's due in August. We haven't got a name for him, so I just call him Sunny Boy Junior. I don't know, whatever. So can we give him a round of applause? Now, I need you to know, not many people have seen that photo, only my family. And what that means is this, we're family, okay? Okay, so can someone say, we family? That's good, we're family right now. And then if there's another photo, a photo of me and my beautiful wife, yes, you give her a round of applause. I know when you look at that photo, you're thinking, man, she is so blessed to have an awesome husband like me. But it's truly God's one of God's greatest gifts to have my wife, Kathleen, someone that I can love, cherish, and spend our lives together. And so I'm grateful to God for her, and she's grateful to God for me. And everyone said, amen. Yeah, I don't know. She can talk to that. Thank you very much. You can take that down. Well, I need to let you know also that I was originally, I'm born in Fiji. Do we have any Fijians in the house today? No, okay, sorry. That's all right. But I want to teach you how to say hello in Fijian, okay? Is everybody ready to learn a different language this morning? Okay, so this is how you say hello. You say bula, okay? Bula, okay? So on the count of three, I want you to give me a big, loud bula, all right? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, that's awesome. We're going to go again. Some people go bula. Okay, so that's up to you. But we're going to try it again. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be with this Fijian church this morning. I feel welcome and at home, but I'm so excited today to really celebrate what is a beautiful occasion as we take the next step in this partnership together, as we reveal, for those of you who have sponsored a child, who it is that has chosen you. But above all else, it's so good to share the Word of God with you this morning. Who believes that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword? It's able to bring life, able to bring hope in Jesus' name. Amen? So I wonder if you could turn with me. We're going to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 12 to 14. Are you ready? Oh, some of you are like, hey, hold on, man, you just gave us the verse. Philippians 3, 12 to 14, it says this, not that I, Paul speaking, have already obtained this or am already perfect. Same here, brother. But I press on. Can someone say press on? To make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Thank the Lord. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you thankful for the word this morning? Amen. Can we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank you today that this is the day that you have made. We thank you that we have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. But Lord, we thank you today that you have a word for us. God, we thank you today that no one is left behind, but you have something for every heart, for every individual. So God, we come today, as has already been said, with open hearts. And we say, God, have it all. Every part of our attention, every part of our focus, Lord, but more than that, would you speak to us directly so that we would leave different to how we walked in. And Lord, we thank you today that it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by your spirit. So we say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I wonder, do we have schoolies here? Does everyone know what schoolies is? Yeah, kind of. Okay, so when you finish year 12, definitely in Brisbane and Sydney, I guess, what happens is you have like a bit of a party week, a celebration week, right? That makes sense. You know, if you finish year 12, whether you've passed or not, you still got a party. You've got to celebrate. And so in Queensland, normally what people do is they go to the Gold Coast or the Sunshine Coast, right? They're beautiful places, beautiful hotels, awesome time to celebrate, go swimming, all that stuff. But when it came to my year 12, time to leave school and celebrate, I asked my parents if I could go to Fiji for 3 months. I know, that's bold, isn't it? Yeah. Hadn't even got my results yet, but I said, no, rest assured, the Lord has done a good work in my marks. And so what happened is my parents said, yes. Isn't that crazy? I mean, isn't that wonderful? They just trust their son so much. So for 3 months, I went to Fiji. And it was the best time ever. The first few weeks, or first few days, I guess, I spent on the main island in Nandi and Suva. And then I left to a small island where my dad's from called Savu Savu. Can everyone say Savu Savu? I know, you're welcome to come, especially since you know how to say hello in Fijian. You can come. And I remember going there and just being blown away by the natural beauty that existed there. It's called the Hidden Paradise. I know, it's so hidden, it's really hard to get to. But I remember going, and the first few days, my cousins came to me and they said, we're going to go fishing and we're going to go swimming. And I was like, yeah, I'm in. So I went with them and they gave me these goggles. And then I thought they were going to give me fishing rods, but what they gave me were these spokes from a bicycle that they'd sharpened one end, and on the other end was a bit of an arrow. And then with that, we had a piece of rubber and then had two metal ends on it. And what you did was you pulled it back and you shot it at little fish. Now, if we have fish lovers here today, I need to let you know we didn't take more than we needed. We didn't fill our boats overflowing. No, that's not what happened. But every day we would go down and we'd go diving in the shallows. And we'd find these fish and we'd shoot them. Pew! I must admit, it took me about 50 tries before I got one. But we'd shoot these fish about this size. Again, if you're from fisheries, apologies. We didn't know the rules. And every day we'd go down and we'd catch these fish. And then we'd come back onto shore. We'd start a fire and we'd cook it straight on the fire. And then we'd eat and we'd play and we'd have fun. Who thinks that sounds great? So did I. I was like, this is heaven. I can spend the next 3 months doing this. Anyways, we did that after a while, and all of a sudden, my uncle came to me. Uncle Vessi, all right? He's like the OG. Sorry, he's a good guy. Anyways, he came to me and he said, today, you're going fishing, diving with me. So I remember thinking, let's go. So I got my spoke, got my dodgy goggles, and he said, no, leave that behind. Someone say, leave that behind. He said, leave that behind. You don't need that where we're going. So I came with him. He gave me flippers. He gave me snorkels. He gave me incredible gear, and then he pulled out a big spear gun. And I was like, ooh, this is heavy duty. Don't point that at me, please, Uncle. And I remember we went down to the same beach that I'd been swimming at for weeks, and I went to dive into the shallow. And he said, no, not today. Can someone say, not today? He said, today you're going to come with me into the deep. And he began to call me out beyond the shallows, out beyond the comforts that I'd experienced for so long. He began to call me beyond the areas that I was so, knowledgeable about or had experienced. And he took me out to the edge of the reef. And we had to go through some waves. We had to go through some trouble and different things. And we got there and he said, all right, this is where we're diving. And I thought, maybe this is where you're diving, but I'm going back there. And then he said, no, come with me. We're going to go out into the deep. So I remember pulling my goggles down, a little bit nervous, a little bit shaky, trying to stay above the waves. And then he said, let's dive. And he dived, and I followed after him. And who knows that moment where you first go down and your eyes are closed, and then you open them up, and it's like, whoa. I remember opening my eyes and looking around and seeing colors like I'd never seen before. I remember looking around and seeing vibrant coral reefs. I remember seeing, I don't know if it was a manta ray or a stingray swimming past and just thinking, whoa, what is this? I remember looking and seeing turtles and big fish. I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, all this time this was waiting here in the deep and I could have missed it staying in the shallows. And I began to swim around and follow him, and then he went too deep and I was like, you're ridiculous. So I just kind of dived around my own place, seeing everything that was available in the deep. And I remember coming back with him that day and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Uncle Vessi. Thank you for taking me to the deep. Thank you for calling me to the deep. Thank you for not allowing me to get comfortable in the shallows, but beckoning me to the more that was available. You know, as I began to think about and pray what I might bring here today, but also for the year, for a bunch of churches across Australia, the sense that I got in my spirit was this, is that God is calling every single one of us to the deep in 2026. I want to encourage every person today that just like my Uncle Vessi said, come with me into the deep. I believe the Lord would say to every single one of us, He's got more for you. Come on, is that good news for anybody? He's got more than you. But it's going to mean resisting the comfort and the beauty of the shallows and embracing the wonder that exists beyond. Friend, I want to encourage you today. He's calling us to a life of deeper trust, a life of deeper hope, a life of deeper joy and peace. Who's up for that today? He's calling us deeper. C3, I want you to know today that God has more for you. Sorry, I didn't mean to stomp. I might break this stage. I won't, Pastor Stephen. Please don't bill me for that one. God has more for you and I in 2026. He's calling us deeper. You know what I love is that whether you're new on this journey, whether you've been walking with Jesus for 75 years, or maybe you're here today and you haven't even started to follow Jesus, there's so much more for every single one of us. Friend, his ways are higher than our ways. He is unsearchable. He is full of goodness and kindness and amazing things. And we haven't even begun to scratch the surface. If you believe it, can you say amen? The question that God is asking us today is, are we willing? Are we prepared to follow him into the deep? You see, Paul in our text today perfectly describes the posture and mindset of someone who desires to move beyond the shallows and push toward the deep with God. He's someone who's done and seen so much, yet his desire to keep straining forward, come on somebody, towards all that Jesus has for him is so great. You see, Paul knows that there will come a day when all will be made new. He alludes to this later in the chapter. Oh, did I broke them? Okay, yep, we're back. Someone say, we're back. Well, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be given new and glorious bodies. I know, I've pretty much made it. I won't need that new. I'm joking. I'm looking forward to that day. But in our text today, he's saying, I know that day's coming, but while I wait, I'm going to press toward obtaining everything that he has for me in the here and now. He's saying, I'm not just going to wait for one day when, but I'm going to make a decision to do the best I can with all that he's given me to take hold of heaven's promises in the here and now. Come on, who thinks that's a good idea? I'm going to press forward towards that day and live in such a way that I can begin to bring to pass heaven's glory, heaven's goodness on earth here today in our midst. I love that Jesus encouraged us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what does it look like to live that out? To say, Lord, I know you've taken hold of so much for me, but I'm going to keep pressing on to continue to bring that into the here and now. And that's what Paul is saying today. And I love that the Bible is filled with people, everyday men and women like you and I, who made a decision not to stay in the shallows, but to pursue God at the cost often of their lives, to say, God, I know you've got so much for me, and I'm going to follow you into the deep. I think about Queen Esther, whose uncle said to her, maybe you're in power for such a time as this, to actually speak on behalf of your people. You know what she could have said? No, actually, the wine's good, the company's great, I'm just going to stay in the shallows. But what did she say? She's like, no, I believe it. And so I'm going to follow the calling of the Lord into the deep, even if it might cost me my life. Why? Because God maybe has placed me here for such a time as this. And as I look across this room today, I wonder what stories will be told of us everyday people who dare to say, God, I know you've got more for me, but it's going to mean leaving the shallow, leaving the security and safety of what's been known. Paul says, forgetting what is behind, that I may take hold of all that he has for me. That's the kind of posture we need to follow God into the deep. I wonder today, do we have anyone here who wants to go deeper with him today? I wonder, do we have anyone here this morning? Come on. He says, you know what, Lord, I'm willing to forget what's behind in order to take hold of all that he has for me. I wonder if there's anyone here today who says, I'm going to forget the past and press on to all that you've called me to, even if it means going into the deep. If you believe it, and if you're with me this morning, can you say amen? And would you clap your hands and give him glory for his goodness and his kindness that he calls us into the deep? But here's the question. What does it actually mean to go deeper? Because it's easy to get excited about that. Yeah, I'm going to the deep. Woo, take me, Lord. If the Lord of heaven and earth is saying, go deeper with me. Yeah, I'm in, Lord, I'm in. But what does it actually mean to go deeper? It's easy to get excited by the prospect, but it's the how that we need to grapple with this morning, eh? It's the how. What does it mean? What does it look like? Well, you know what? I think it's helpful to start not with what it means, but maybe what it doesn't mean this morning. Number one, everyone say number one. Going deeper doesn't mean simply gaining more knowledge. You see, the Pharisees serve as a cautionary tale of how this kind of thinking can lead us astray. Thinking that if I just remember more verses, if I just read more books, if I just consume more this and more that, then I'll go deeper with God. Hear me today, that's a part of it, but that's not all that there is to know. You see, the Pharisees were recognized as God's experts in the law. They were publicly known as the most skilled interpreters of Jewish law. They weren't casual Bible readers. They were professional class of scripture experts. Friend, they didn't just know the text. They knew the footnotes, they knew the commentaries, and they even knew the maps. I think, Pastor Stephen, you know the maps as well. Just kidding. That's who we're talking about here today. But I want you to hear this today. Jesus tells them plainly, all this knowledge wouldn't get them to God. In John 5, verse 39 to 40, it says this, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, Jesus speaking. Yet you refuse to come to me, to the deep, away from that you maybe have known and understood, that you may have life. What's Jesus saying? He's like, you know the book, but you've missed the author. He says, you've learned so much head knowledge, but I stand in front of you, the Word made flesh, and you've missed it. Can I encourage us today, if knowledge doesn't help us experience the person of Jesus Christ or deepen and enrich our relationship with Him, it's just puffing us up. It's just an illusion of depth, but leaving us shallow. Friend, can I encourage you today? Knowledge alone won't cause us to go deeper with Him. Number two, everyone say two. Going deeper with God isn't about doing more. It's like, surely if I served more, if I was on the front a bit more, if I did camera, maybe if I did more good deeds, maybe that would take me deeper to where God wants me. And that's a part of it. But can I encourage you today? Paul the Apostle speaks about how that's how he once lived. A life of earning and achievement. He talks about having the best credentials. Sorry, I just kicked this mic here. Whoever it is, I apologize. But he rightly sees all of that as garbage. Someone say garbage. That's some heavy words. Getting in the way of going deeper with God. Let's look again, Philippians 3, verse 4 to 11. It says this, though I myself, Paul speaking, have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Ooh, that's a bit bold. He says, circumcised on the eighth day, bless you, Paul, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's like, I'm from the right family. He says, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. I know it. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, under the law, blameless. What a resume. But then he says this, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. For the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything. Someone say everything. Not just some of his credentials, not just some of his good deeds. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Friends, what does it mean to go deeper? Paul hits the nail on the head. It's not about more knowing. It's not about more doing. But it's actually about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? All of that is garbage. All of the knowledge, all of the understanding, all of the gaining. If I don't know Jesus, I've missed everything. And he says, but thanks be to God, because he came into my world. He met me on the road to Damascus, and everything changed forever. And where I once thought I was pursuing everything, now I know in him is all I need. In him is all that I will ever, ever, ever need today. So you say, what does it mean to go deeper? It's not simply about knowing more about a concept or an idea. It's not simply about earning or doing this and that. Friend, I want to encourage you today. Going deeper is the language of relationship. Going deeper is about growing in your personal walk and journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it, can you say amen this morning? I'm going to start to bring this to a close because my time is wrapping up very fast. The challenge is that we live in a culture that is very good at creating connections but struggles to create depth. Our lives are fast. Our attention is fragmented. Our communities are mobile and unstable. We're constantly performing and presenting a face rather than being known. We are surrounded by people but often lack the conditions that allow for real intimacy to form. Richard Foster names this brilliantly in his book, Celebration of Disciplines. He says, in contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in the muchness and the manyness, he will rest satisfied. Friend, today, can I encourage you? God is calling you to the deep. But what he's calling you to is a deeper relationship with him. He's not a God who stands off at a distance and gives tips and ideas and pointers. But he's a God who draws near and invites us to walk with him. Who thinks that's incredible news? The challenge is this: what do we do practically to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus? Really quickly, two things. Everyone say two things. Number one, if we're going to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus and with each other, we have to learn to give the gift of attention. Someone say attention. Isn't that so true? So many of my lifelong friends are my friends because they're really good to waste time with. I'm just going to be honest. They're my lifelong friends because they put up with my lame jokes. And I've got lots of lame jokes. If you want, meet me after, we can share some. But more than that, when I'm spending time with them, I don't get the sense that they're looking over my shoulder for a better time. So thanks, Sloan. Yeah, so good to meet. Hey, Johnny, what's happening? Right? I get the sense that I have their full and undivided attention. And because of that, depth in relationship is built. You know what I love is that the psalmist talks about it. Is that that's how God approaches us. In Psalm 8, it says, when I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Friend, I want you to know today that this attention that we are invited to give to God, he first gives to us. And out of that overflow of love that he lavishes on us, we respond like I do with my friends by saying, God, you know what? I'm going to carve out time, because we have to carve out time, right? In a world where every scroll, every pause, every click is measured and monetized, our attention is a high commodity. But in that atmosphere, we have to be ruthless. Someone say ruthless in saying, you know what, Lord? I'm going to steal back my time. I'm going to steal back my attention. I'm going to put my phone in the other room, as my wife encourages me to do. Why? So that I could give you my full and undivided attention. And in that place, depth is built. In that place, we grow deeper in our walk and following after him. Can I tell you, you know what I had to do? I had to set an alarm at midday for every day. And it just said, attention. And it would come up, and I'd go, attention, what's that about? No. I'd go, yes, Lord. What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you're... And then I discovered, no, it's not about what he wants to do. It's about just being with him in his presence. Think about Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha. They do a really good thing. They invite Jesus into their home. Who thinks that's a good first step? Some of us, that's a good first step, right? But then when Jesus comes, they have two very different responses. One goes about doing, and one says, before the doing, I'm going to sit at your feet. Again, both aren't wrong. But Jesus says, before you do the many thing, choose the main thing, which is sitting at my feet. So I want to encourage us today, set some alarms. But not to trigger you to do or to ask, but simply to sit at his feet and steal away your attention and give it to the one who deserves it. And in that process, we'll grow deeper in relationship with him. Amen. But here's the thing. I just want to encourage you. You won't have 50 alarms for the rest of your life. The idea is that as we grow in relationship with him, it becomes as natural as breathing. We know you're here with me. And it's not scheduled time, but it's a constant awareness that there is a God who is accompanying us. Amen. Number two, everyone say number two. The second thing we can do to step into a deeper relationship with him. Number one, we give him the gift of our attention. Number two, we give and receive the gift of accompaniment. The gift of accompaniment. Many years ago, I walked through an incredibly difficult time. Myself and a whole group of our youth leaders, we went to Sydney for a men's conference, and it was the best. We had the greatest time. My dad was with us, and at the end of the last night, we all went home. The next morning, we woke up to go to church, and one of my friends, one of my good friends and youth leaders, didn't wake up from his sleep. We were trying to wake him up, but he just passed on to glory. I remember in that moment just thinking, what on earth is going on? I had so many questions, so much fear and doubt. I didn't even want to go to sleep that night because it just, like, what? I remember in that moment we went back to Brisbane and we were trying to organize the funeral and all of these things. In the midst of the chaos and the confusion, my friend rang me from Sydney. And he's like, bro, I love you, man. I was like, thanks. What's up? And he said, I want to take the week off. I'm going to fly to Brisbane, and I'm just going to be with you guys. And so he came, and he slept on our couch. And he came, and he was just there. Did he have the answers? No. Did he know the right things to say? Not at all. But he chose to accompany us in our pain and in our hurt. He chose to be there as an abiding presence, sound familiar, to extend the love of God to us. And in that moment, I realized that's exactly what our God does. You know the psalm, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Friend, can I encourage you today? Before we give the gift of accompaniment, we must recognize and be aware that God walks with us in every season. That he's a God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That he's a God who says, you know what? Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. I'm not going to abandon you in your mess. I'm not going to abandon you in your trouble. But I will walk with you, accompanying you through it all. On the top of the mountain, I will be your God leading you and guiding you. That's who he is. A God who accompanies us. But how often do we just forget it? Can I encourage you today, whatever you're walking through, know that God is a God who accompanies you and walks with you. But accompaniment isn't a one-way street. We have an opportunity to respond and say, God, I thank you that you're with me. But now, Lord, would you lead me? And would you guide me through this onto all that you have for me? That is what it means to follow him into the deep. to say, Lord, I give you my attention. I know that you're here. Now would you lead me on? Friend, what did Jesus say to his first disciples? Come follow me. He didn't say, I'll see you on Tuesday and Thursday at the temple. He said, come do life with me. Accompany me. When the disciples, a group of disciples in John 1 said, I'm like, where do you stay? What's your life all about? He said, come and see. That's the invitation of our God, to follow him. But here's the thing, and this is what's so special about today, is that I've realized is that when we follow Jesus, we go to the people that he wants us to be with. We go to the people that he's asking us to be his hands, his feet, his presence. You read the New Testament, who does Jesus hang out with? The poor, the outcast, and the broken. And when we go to those people and to those places, guess what? We extend God's accompanying presence. We extend his transformative power to those areas. And you know, today is a special day because this church has already made a decision to be Jesus' hands and feet to an area program called Rukakiri in Cambodia. You've made a decision to see the broken, the poor, and the hurting. And you've made a decision to go in the midst of it all and walk with them. And today, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. On behalf of World Vision Australia, but also on behalf of the 190 young people, that your giving and generosity will impact and transform today. But mostly, on behalf of Jesus, for seeing his children, those created in his image, and saying, I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to make a decision to walk with them through it all, to pray with them, to pray for them, to believe for change and transformation. So thank you. Now I wonder, do you want to see the choosing party this morning? Do you want to see what it looks like when we show up in these areas? I want you to check the screens for an awesome video of a choosing party in Rukakiri, Cambodia. Can we put our hands together for that?